Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's Call for Action's president and your host, Shirley Rooker.
How does your state fare when it comes to establishing a healthy tax environment for businesses? Well, you're going to find out. My guest is Joe Hinchman. He's the Vice President of State Projects for the Tax Foundation, and they've done an annual report on the state business tax climate in the various states, and you may be surprised at some of the findings. As a matter of fact, it raises a few eyebrows. Joe, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Great to be with you.
Now, here's the thing. I was totally surprised at how poorly our local environment ranked for taxes. But first, before we get into the study itself, tell us a little bit about the Tax Foundation.
Sure. Well, we're one of the oldest think tanks in America. We're 77 years old, and our focus is on federal, state, and local tax policy. So we're looking at the numbers, comparing states against each other, and making suggestions on how states could make their tax systems simpler, more neutral, more transparent, and more stable. Finding ways to get more growth out of the economy through tax policy. So we've got a lot of work to do still, but we work very hard at it.
Okay. Now, let's talk about this specific thing on the states. And and as far as I can determine, in terms of the Maryland district and Virginia is the better of the three, but still kind of mediocre. The district ranks 45th, which out of one out of 50, and 50 being the worst, that is not exactly a great climate. And
right.
Maryland is 40. Before we went on the air, you were telling me that Maryland had had some swings, and because of all the taxes they've added recently, their ratings have gone up, meaning they're doing poorer.
Right. So this is our State Business Tax Climate Index report, and we put it out every year. This is the 11th year of the report. So it's not a huge time frame, but it's enough to start seeing some trends. And Maryland used to be a fairly middle-of-the-pack state in terms of business tax friendliness. It dropped a lot under the outgoing governor, Martin O'Malley. When Governor O'Malley came in, he raised a lot of taxes, income taxes, sales taxes, some others. I think you have some personal experience with that because I think you live in Maryland, right?
I do. We've seen increases in taxes.
Yep. So, and, you know, people sometimes say, oh, he raised income taxes. What does that have to do with business? We sometimes hear that with our reports. It matters a lot because a lot of businesses pay through the individual code. Most businesses are not corporations. They're partnerships, they're sole proprietors, they're S corporations, they're LLCs, LLPs, and they're all paying taxes, but they're paying under the individual code, not under the corporate code. And so in Maryland, where you've got a state income tax and then the county income taxes of over 3%, it adds up pretty fast for even a medium or small sized business.
And when you start out doing this analysis of taxes in the states, what do you do? You sit down and look at their tax codes and see
right.
what kind of taxes they have, what the burden is on businesses. So, as you said, you're examining both the actual corporate taxes as well as individual income taxes because so many small businesses, they pay taxes under the individual program rather than under a corporate program.
Right.
Is that to the disadvantage of a business?
Well, it depends on each business, and each business has to make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes a business, it's easier to be a corporation if you've got a lot of shareholders.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, then you have to comply with SEC rules and Dodd-Frank, and you got to chase your stock price. And so that's why you might want to be privately held instead. And, you know, there's a lot of different reasons that go into it, and taxes can be one of those.
So if you're a privately held business, it means you're the single owner or family-owned business, then you're paying under the individual income tax.
Right.
Okay.
So if you're just a you just own a corner convenience store, and there's no shareholders or anything, it's just you, that income you're paying taxes on it, but
right.
it's going to be through the individual code. And of course, those aren't the only taxes you're paying. You're paying property taxes. You're paying sales taxes. You're probably collecting excise taxes. Selling cigarettes and soda and candy and groceries and all of that. And unemployment insurance taxes. And so we try to look at all of them in this report. This report actually has over 100 different variables in five major categories.
Wow. Because
we try to look at all aspects of a state's tax structure.
Mm-hmm. So who's the best? Who has the most friendly business environment?
State of Wyoming, actually. And that surprises some people, but I mean, if you're a business in Wyoming, you're actually not paying a lot of taxes. They have no corporate income tax. They have no individual income tax. They do have a sales tax, and they do have property taxes, although property taxes are fairly low in Wyoming. So it's a pretty good place to be for business purposes.
And it's a beautiful place.
It is beautiful, and you know, people sometimes say, well, you know, Wyoming, who's moving to Wyoming? Well, somebody is because their economy is actually growing quite big, growing quite fast. It was the second fastest GDP growth last year of any state after North Dakota. North Dakota struck oil, so they're always going to be number one on this. But Wyoming was number two, and that surprises a lot of people.
Well, who is number two?
Wyoming was the second fastest in economic growth.
Oh, in growth, yes. Yeah. And who follows behind Wyoming?
Well, we've got our top 10. There's two kinds of states in our top 10. One kind of state is like Wyoming. It's the states that go without one of the major taxes. Because when you don't have one of the major taxes, you don't have the administrative cost and the compliance cost and the deadweight loss of having to pay people to fill out the forms and to collect it and to audit and to develop rules on all of it. You just don't have any of that. And that's money that can go towards other more productive purposes. So these are states like Wyoming, South Dakota, Nevada, Alaska, Florida that don't have usually an individual income tax or a corporate income tax or both.
Okay. So people come to your website and see all this information?
Oh, yes. The report's on our website at taxfoundation.org.
Now, this would make a difference, too, in terms of people who are looking at retirement and wanting to move to more tax-friendly state, because if it has less taxes on business, that almost tells me that it has less taxes on individuals.
Oh, absolutely. And this is something we point out to a lot of people. And you can access this all on our website because we try to keep all the tax rates for each state up to date. So if you want to know what the sales tax rate is in a state or what the income tax rate is or how much they tax gasoline, you can find out on our website.
Ooh, that's lovely. And it's taxfoundation.org?
Correct.
Okay. Taxfoundation.org. Great source of information.
There's two other states on our top 10 list that I want to point out because they're a little bit different than the other states, and that's Indiana and Utah. Indiana and Utah, they have all of the major taxes. They have income tax, they have corporate income tax, they have sales tax, they have property tax. But they're still pretty good because all of their taxes are simple. They're broad-based. There's not a lot of carve-outs for this group or that group. And the rates are low because you can have a low rate if everybody's chipping in.
Well, and then making it simple means preparation times, all the effort you have to go into in complying with the tax codes is less expensive also.
Exactly. And the Indiana and Utah income taxes, I mean, they're as close to take this number from your federal return, multiply it by this amount, send it in as you can get.
I love it.
That's pretty good. So it just goes to show it's not just about zeroing out your taxes. You can have a tax, but have it structured well.
Have it simple. Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Joe Hinchman. He's the Vice President of State Projects for the Tax Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization that's been around for, 75 years, Joe?
77 years.
77. Good. Congratulations. We've had taxes for a long time, haven't we? Yes. Okay. So these very competitive states, and we've heard a lot about Indiana recently. Because they've really, from what I understand, really turned that state around. I don't know if you know the specifics on it or not, but I mean, I've been reading that Indiana has done some really remarkable things in terms of its growth and its economic climate. So I guess the same could be said of all of these in your top 10.
Indiana wasn't always in our top 10. They've moved into it the last couple of years as they've improved their tax system. And they've also had a lot of good stuff on the budget side, too. A lot more transparency, a lot more structurally balancing everything, a lot more measuring how good government is at doing different things and trying to improve it. So a lot of kudos to the current governor, Mike Pence, and his predecessor, Mitch Daniels, for putting those processes in place.
So the people in Indiana are benefiting and they're getting into a more competitive environment. And of course, this, as you said, for example, talking about Wyoming and the growth there, the economic growth that's going on. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, the least competitive states, and probably people won't find the top three very surprising, New Jersey, New York, and California. Although I was a little bit surprised at New Jersey, that New Jersey comes in as the worst state
Yeah, and this is kind of historical in a lot of ways. Back in the 1950s, 1960s, New Jersey was notorious for its property taxes, very high property taxes. And so they enacted a sales tax, and they said the politicians who put it through said, we're going to use the sales tax money to reduce property taxes. And then they enacted an income tax, and they said, we're going to use this income tax money to reduce property taxes. And then they imposed a millionaire's tax on the income tax, and they said, we're going to use this money to reduce property taxes. New Jersey today now has, after all this, the highest state sales tax in the country, one of the highest income taxes in the country, and still the highest property taxes in the United
States. What is their sales tax?
It's 7% statewide.
Wow, that's hefty. And then following that is New York and then California.
Right.
Let's talk about New York a little bit.
That's a great example of, before the break, we were talking about states that are high tax, but still, or states that have good structures, even though they may have high or low taxes, and how that matters. New York is a high tax state. There's no getting around that. They offer the government, the state and local governments do a lot of stuff, and so they got to raise a lot of tax revenue. But our point is that even if you're high tax, that doesn't mean you have to structure it badly. And this year, New York actually did something about their corporate income tax, which was very badly structured. And I don't know if you want to know just how crazy the corporate tax was before this year.
Tell me.
It would take just a minute to explain, but it is really insane. So, most corporate income taxes are structured, you know, you make a profit and you pay a percentage to the state on that profit, and that's your tax. New York structured it as follows. You had to calculate it four different ways, either on a basis of on your assets, or a basis on your profit, or a basis on your revenue, or a basis on a dollar figure. You got to calculate each of them, and then you pay the highest.
Not the lowest, pay the highest, okay?
Right. Now, sometimes corporations lose money in a year, especially, you know, and a lot of corporations lost money in like 2010, 2011.
Yes.
We had some bad years. And so because we've sort of picked a calendar basis arbitrarily, we let corporations smooth out their profits. So if you lose money one year and you make more money the next year, it kind of smooths out. And that's a federal law. That's standard across the board. New York didn't follow that. They had their own special rules on that. They had their own special rules on a lot of things. And then if you lent money of any kind, if you gave credit or lent money, you had a separate tax that you also had to pay that was separate from all of this. And so there were two different entities administering it with two different rules and all of that. So, I mean, it's one thing if New York wants to raise money for the services that their citizens demand. But they did it in a simple, non-complex way. But they were doing it this way. But great credit to the governor and the legislature, Governor Cuomo and the legislature this year, because they pushed through a big reform that simplifies this whole thing.
Well, they are also heavily advertising that they have startup businesses in New York that are exempt from taxes for 10 years.
Yeah, I've seen those ads.
We don't know yet if that's going to have any impact on businesses moving there.
It is very limited. It's just in areas around state university campuses.
Right. It's not across the board, yes.
Right. And there are limits to what types of businesses are eligible for it. So there is that, and that has gotten a lot of attention. But what has gotten less attention is this more significant reform they've done to their corporate system, where instead of having two different systems, one of which you calculate it four different ways, it's just going to be one corporate income tax. And we've actually concluded that as they phase this in, it doesn't take full effect for a couple of years, but when it does come into effect, it will be the best structured corporate income tax of any state with a corporate income tax.
Oh, wow.
Which is astonishing for a state like New York, which everybody kind of views as gritty and high tax and very complex. And so they're working to change that. And again, big credit to the governor and the legislature for pushing that through this year.
Amen. That's very significant.
They actually were worst on our index 2 years ago, and now they've moved up one spot. Now they're only 49th out of 50. But if this trend keeps up, they're gonna pass California and maybe even Minnesota and keep on working their way up.
You know, the state that surprised me as the least competitive is Iowa. I don't know why. I wouldn't have thought that, but they rank number 41, which is not good.
Yeah, Iowa actually has the highest corporate income tax in the United States.
Really?
Which is somewhat surprising, and that's just kind of a historical accident. Now, they do give credits to corporations so that they don't actually pay that high rate, but that's one of the critiques we have of tax systems is you really should just have your tax system available to all comers, and the sticker rate you see should be what you pay. You shouldn't have to lobby or do special math in order mm-hmm. to get what your tax rate is. And so we actually put together a book especially on Iowa because we got a lot of questions about it, and it's a book of charts. It's a chart book on Iowa, which you can see on our website. It's called Iowa Illustrated, which goes through their tax system and some of the strengths and weaknesses, but very high business taxes in Iowa. And they're facing a lot of competitive pressure. Nebraska's got quite a few Fortune 500 companies next door. Wisconsin's trying to up their game, and then we'll see what happens with Illinois because they had a significant change in this election, electing a Republican who's promised to do tax reform.
Where do they come out on the whole spectrum?
Illinois?
Yeah.
They're middle of the pack, 31st, and
okay.
They've dropped quite a bit. They pushed through a big tax increase in 2011. Their 7% corporate income tax, they brought it up to 9.5%, which is the fourth highest in the industrialized world when you include the federal corporate income tax that
wow.
Illinois corporations are paying. And it's so high that Illinois corporations have threatened to leave, and a number of them actually have left. And groups like the Chicago Mercantile Exchange and Sears, they threatened to leave, and Illinois came through with special packages for them.
Uh-oh.
But that just goes to show a broken tax system where something called the Chicago Mercantile Exchange was saying they were going to leave Illinois.
That's pretty bad. Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Joe Hinchman. He is the Vice President of State Projects for the Tax Foundation. And we're talking about a very revealing study that you all have done on this tax structure in states and how competitive or anti-competitive these states' tax structures really are. It's just a really kind of astonishing. And yes, so now we were talking about Illinois before we took the break, and you were saying that Sears, for example, had threatened to move their headquarters from Illinois because of the tax structure, and they cut some special breaks for them. But isn't that, that seems, not that I want to pick on Sears, but that seems unfair to the other businesses that have to operate in this climate?
It's a key point we make, that the tax system should be neutral.
It should be fair.
It should apply to all comers. You shouldn't have to negotiate deals in order to get it. Because if that's the structure you set up, yeah, a lot of the big guys are going to be able to negotiate a deal. But the small guys who generate a lot of the job growth, who pay their people year in and year out, the dependable, loyal people, small businesses, they never get these deals. Or if they do, they get a small, the crumbs of them. So the real benefit to small business is when you have a tax system that treats everyone the same.
Okay, so now, aside from Illinois, we've seen, and I don't know how much this has to do with state versus federal taxes, but corporations leaving the country, moving their headquarters to other countries.
Yeah.
And I suppose that's a combination, although we're not going to talk about federal taxes today. I am going to do a program with someone from your organization in a month or so and talk about federal taxes. But how much do state taxes play in companies deciding to move overseas?
I think they play a little bit. Certainly the federal tax code is a big part of that because
right.
we have such a high federal corporate tax rate compared to other countries, and our rules on that are completely different from other countries. So in America, other countries only tax you if you're doing business in their country. America taxes our corporations wherever they're doing business. So our corporations doing business abroad are actually double taxed, and that's a big incentive for them to, so-called lose their American citizenship, invert, become,
right.
Change their headquarters overseas. State corporate stuff matters, too, because it's on top of those taxes.
Right.
So, even if you're Wyoming and you have no corporate income tax, your corporations are still paying the highest corporate income tax in the industrialized world. So any state taxes you're adding on top of that make it even worse. Individual income taxes certainly matter. I've talked to a lot of businesses all over the place, and there's just no denying that fact. I just came back from Nevada. We talked with an accountant in Nevada who was talking about all the new clients he's gotten from who fled California if California raised its income tax to over 13%. Nevada, of course, has no income tax, and not everybody's going to make that move because, you know, there's things California has that Nevada doesn't have. But at some point, the tax rate gets too onerous, and individuals and businesses and entrepreneurs, they make that jump. And it's not the driving force of tax policy, but it certainly happens, and it should be a consideration.
Well, do you think that states are learning? I mean, it doesn't seem to me, like Maryland, for example, which is getting worse in terms of its competitive nature.
That's true, although voters just elected a Republican governor who said we need to do something about our business climate. So
yeah.
It remains to be seen. I mean, of course, they also put in, reelected a Democratic legislature, so we'll see what they're able to do together.
See how much they fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But no, I mean, that's certainly true. I mean, there are states like Rhode Island, which have very high taxes but want to do better and are constantly passing laws to try to reform their system. And then you have a state like California, which feels like it has enough advantages that it doesn't really matter what its taxes are, it's going to do just fine. And that's been their attitude, raising income taxes, raising sales taxes, and raising business taxes.
Mm-hmm. And are they going to be bankrupt? Oh, boy. Other question. That's another time. Another time. All right. So what are some of the things that – what is the takeaway from all of this for small businesses who are thinking of locating? It's know what the tax structure is. I suppose also small businesses really need to be very proactive in terms of letting their legislators know how they feel about tax programs and complaining, writing to the legislators. I would think all of those things would be important.
They are. And all, I mean, it's always important to remember that business taxes are not just the corporate income tax.
Right. Or business right. Agencies. It's your personal income tax on all those small businesses.
It's the personal income tax. Businesses are collecting sales tax. They're paying property tax. They're paying unemployment insurance tax. And that's something a lot of people, including a lot of legislators, forget. So, for instance, we were just in Nevada where some of the discussion is how do we make business pay their fair share in taxes when business is actually paying a lot of taxes. I mean, we get that nationally, too. The question of, you know, business needs to pay more. They're not paying enough in corporate income tax. Business is paying a lot in taxes, and it's always good to be reminded of that, especially with individual stories of how much people are paying in taxes.
Well, and when you start looking at the fact that, as you say, we're the highest taxing tax corporations in the world, in the industrialized world.
And that's just a fact. I mean, that's and some people will dispute, well, do corporations really pay that much and all of that? And we can debate the numbers, and we've got research saying that they do. But there's no denying the fact that we're trying to tax our corporations way more than countries overseas are. And so it's really hard to complain too much about this inversion trend because mm-hmm. that's the incentive we're giving up. I mean, if we taxed individuals – you know, two or three times more than what every other country was doing, and we saw an exodus of individuals, I don't think we could really blame the people fleeing for that.
Well, it's a fascinating discussion, Joe, and I thank you for taking the time to be with
My
us
pleasure.
Today. Now, all right, now, so your study, which is you do every year, you've been doing it for, I think you said, the last 11 years, and your organization is 77 years old. People can find out all this wonderful information at your website, taxfoundation.org, right?
Yep. That's it.
Okay. And since you're a nonprofit, I assume you accept donations and whatever?
We do, and they are tax deductible.
Well, of course, we would certainly hope so. That's got to be a given. So anyway, folks, if you're interested in all of this, and I think you should be because it affects all of us as consumers and as business owners and the state of taxes in our country, it can be a little bit disturbing. Joe, thank you so much for joining us. For our listeners, you've been tuned in to Off Consuming Interest right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest has been Joe Hinton. He is the Vice President of State Projects for the Tax Foundation, and I'm Shirley Rooker. Thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.